Emma.
I'm Kiana.
I'm Tanasia.
I'm Lila.
And I'm Badila. And we're
the Perfect 10 After School. And we love to be a part of WGXC Acra 90.7 FM, celebrating creative community radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
Yay!
Network, this is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we'll hear the WGXC Congressional Report, with news about the representatives in Congress in the 19th and 20th Congressional Districts in New York, and the candidates who want to replace them. And we'll also hear about how the Public Service Commission gave National Grid a 2% annual hike in their rates and how that will affect consumers in this cold winter. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather and the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Airwaves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network. Network. This is the news.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here. Brendan J. Lyons is reporting for the Times Union that former State Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver, at one time one of the most powerful lawmakers in New York, has died at the age of 77. Silver passed away in a federal medical center prison in Massachusetts, where he was serving a 6-year term for bribery and corruption. The Manhattan Democrat served as Speaker for more than 20 years. He was sent to prison in August 2020 following a second conviction, after the first was overturned by a U.S. Supreme Court ruling. He was arrested in 2015 following a federal investigation that found he had secretly steered state contractors to a law firm where he had an interest, generating millions in personal income. He was replaced as Speaker by Assemblymember Carl E. Hastie less than a week after his arrest. Silver struggled with health problems while incarcerated, and he was eventually transferred to a federal medical facility prison in Devens, Massachusetts. His release date was set for March 2026. Prosecutors, in a sentencing memorandum, cited a probation report that concluded Silver was simply motivated by greed. Quote, "Silver is an example of why the public has lost faith in their elected officials," unquote, they wrote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Mid-Hudson News reports that the state health department reported on January 22nd another 12 deaths from COVID-19 in the Hudson Valley and Catskills. There was one death each in the counties of Greene and Orange, two deaths in Rockland County, and eight in Westchester. While deaths continue, case numbers are receding. There were 43 new cases announced January 22nd in Greene County and 51 more in Columbia County, two places with over 100 new cases a day until recently. The larger counties of Dutchess and Ulster also reported much lower case totals at 287 and 152 respectively. Read more about this story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Roger Hannigan-Gilson reports in the Times Union that a little less raw sewage will go into the Hudson River with a $2.15 million in state grants and $350,000 from the city of Hudson to update an antiquated sewer system. Parts of Hudson's current sewer system date back nearly two centuries, with both raw sewage and precipitation runoff in the same pipes. The grant means that the combined sewer line constructed in the 1830s out of stone will be replaced. Failures of this sewer line have become, quote, increasingly common, unquote, leading to, quote, serious public safety issues, unquote, according to a 2014 city engineering report. Updating Hudson's sewer system, though, is not the only source of raw sewage flowing into the Hudson River. Catskill, Athens, Kingston, Newburgh, Poughkeepsie, Troy, and West Point all release sewage into the Hudson River. When it rains in the Hudson Valley, millions of gallons of sewage flow into the river. The Clean Water Act was signed by President Richard Nixon in 1972 to stop these pollution discharges that, 50 years later, continue. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Natasha Von Holdridge reports for Columbia Green Media that on January 20th, the Ghent Town Board unanimously voted for a resolution opposing hate after several recent racial incidents in Columbia County. On January 14th, three people stood near the gazebo in Chatham holding a banner reading "White Lives Matter," a phrase often associated with a specific hate group. Town Councilperson Pat Mahaney said, and I quote, "I would like to point out that we do not have, unfortunately, in the Capital Region, they have identified five hate groups. The Oath Keepers, Patriot Front, Proud Boys, Three Percenters, and the New York Militia. This is very disheartening and sad to all of us," end quote. After the January 14th incident, over 100 local residents held a counter-protest at the same location on January 19th. Town Councilperson Coeith Izan said January 19th at the counter-protest, and I quote, "We don't know who the people were who were presenting those flags, whether it was people from within this community or people from without. But either way, they were clearly trying to divide us," end quote. Ghent's resolution says the town maintains that everyone in the community have the right to feel safe and to be treated equally with respect and dignity, regardless of their race, religion, nationality, gender identity, sexual orientation, economic status, and political affiliation. Ghent resident Jack Finn said at the town meeting, and I quote, "We know that across this country there have been many acts of racism and hatred and bigotry. We see it in the news, but it's always somewhere else. It's certainly not here. But we now know that it is. It has been, I'm sure, but now we know that it is," end quote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Daily Freeman is reporting that Catskill High School juniors Adam Consul and Carson Ciminelli have been selected by the College Board for its National Recognition Program. The students earned the board's National Rural and Small Town Recognition Award, which highlights the outstanding academic achievements of students from small towns throughout the nation. To be eligible, a student must maintain a grade point average of 3.5 or higher and score in the top 10% of all New York students who took the preliminary SAT National Merit Scholarship Qualifying Test in 2021. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that New York lawmakers will end up drawing new legislative boundaries for the state legislature and House of Representatives in New York, according to the Democratic members of the New York State Independent Redistricting Commission. The commission is made up of Democrats and Republicans who have yet to agree on redistricting maps. If they cannot agree, that leaves the job to the legislature. The Redistricting Commission members said in a statement, and I quote, "We reiterate our commitment to a redistricting process driven by public input and hope that the legislature will consider the input that the commission has solicited and collected in its work," end quote. It went on to say, and I quote, "Moreover, we are proud to embody the diversity of New York as the Constitution calls for, and believe our diversity is reflected in our approach to public input and the line-drawing process. We urge the legislature to approach their duty in the same spirit," end quote. The commission was created as a constitutional, and I quote, "reform," end quote, to take the state legislature out of the process. Instead, the state legislature will decide the process. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics.
Mid-Hudson News has learned a second international carrier will be providing overseas flights from New York Stort International Airport. Multiple sources have told Mid-Hudson News that Icelandic carrier Play Airlines will officially announce its plan next week. Airline officials could not be reached for comment, and the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, which operates Stort, has a policy of not commenting until an official announcement is made. Sources said the low-cost carrier will operate a fleet of Airbus aircraft. The first route to the United States will be from Baltimore-Washington International Airport on April 20th and to Boston on May 11th. Play's Stort service is expected to launch in June. The airline will initially fly into Iceland and connect to European cities, eventually including Berlin, Brussels, Copenhagen, Gothenburg, Keflavik, London, Paris, Stavanger, Stuttgart, and Trondheim. Norse Airways, another startup, recently announced its plans to fly between Stort and Norway. Read more about the story at MidHudsonNews.com.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Tuesday, scattered snow showers mainly before 7 a.m. It will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 35 degrees. Tuesday night, it will be partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 8 degrees and wind chill values as low as zero. And on Wednesday, sunny with a high near 17 degrees. And Wednesday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around minus 4 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Tuesday, January 25th, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the radio at 90.7 FM, including at 9 a.m. on the WGXC Morning Show. We'll hear the WGXC Congressional Report with all the news about the representatives in Washington, D.C. that cover the 19th and 20th congressional districts and the candidates that want to replace them. At noon on the Overlook Show, after the local news, Rob Saffer beams in live from Ulster County, featuring the work of two uncommon cornetists, Ron Miles and Kirk Kanufke. Then the end of radio is the subject of an audio buffet at 2 p.m., and the Radio Art Hour at 3 p.m. has scary radio stories, one that Orson Welles called the, quote, greatest single radio script ever written, unquote. Then at 7 p.m., Movies is the theme with Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda, as Amanda Lees and Jenny Getty review the latest films they've been watching and preview what's coming to local theaters. Then at 8 p.m., Michael Wilde is playing the 60s soul and 78s on his Mostly Single show. And at 10 p.m., Dan Seward beams in from somewhere in Columbia County with the Battlefield Earth program on WGXC 90.7 FM. Tune in on Wednesday, January 26th, to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at 90.7 FM, including at 10 a.m. It's time for the Synth Eclectico show with tracks today from Al Hopp, Bit Graves, Bernice, and others. Then Maria Manhattan has the Hudson Cafe at 11 a.m., and we go to Catskill at noon after the local news for the Bedazzled Radio Hour for 2 hours from Spike Priggins' Main Street store on Catskill, Spike's Record Rack. And he'll have 2 hours of rock, soul, and more, followed by rock and roll radio at 2 with the Sun City Girls, Jaw Wobble, Robin Hitchcock, and others. At 7 p.m., the Off the Hook show beams in from WBAI, a simulcast from the New York City station, with the Off the Hook show from the 2600 Hacker Crew. And then at 8 p.m., tune in Music for the Masses with Disco Around the World from Neva Wartell. And at 10 p.m., we're live from Columbia County with Clara Pohl and the Mystery Machine with Disco, Funk, and More on the radio at 90.7 FM WGXC.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, January 25th. Earlier this morning, we see a relatively decent start to the day. 21 degrees in Mackey and 25 in Ankrum. We also have official reports of 1 inch of snow in Red Hook, 1 inch in Port Ewan, and 2 inches in West Kill. Some lake effect snow could roll through, dusting some roads this morning. A high of 35 is expected at 1 p.m., This is the warmest day this week, and today's conditions will be cold. Just cold. So a coat and a little wind protection this afternoon should keep you safe. After 3 p.m., freezing conditions reappear, so watch for freezing water flows on roads. Overnight, temperatures fall to 10 degrees, then a rise to 20 degrees by 1 p.m. Conditions will be sub-freezing. Then, overnight, it becomes dangerously sub-freezing with a low of 0 degrees. Thursday will be dry with a high of 26. 20 degrees overnight takes us into a snowy Friday with a high of 32 degrees. About an inch of snow is expected to fall by dark. The weekend will have highs in the 20s with some lingering snow on Saturday. Sunset today will be at 4:45 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:10 a.m. Looking way up, we see solar winds flowing from a mid-latitude coronal hole will arrive tomorrow. Solar wind speed is currently 349 kilometers per second at 21.3 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 26. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate.
Am I you or are you me?
You are a happy person, full of imaginative thoughts which pour forth constantly. Each day you feel more lovable, more interesting. You become more interested in others. You recognize and accept the friendship that people offer you, for you truly deserve it. You have a deep and sincere respect for yourself and for your personal worth to others. It is easy for you to accept the help and cooperation of others. You see their help to you as an expression of mutual friendship and understanding. You now realize that giving and receiving are two sides of a single coin. You're aware of the trust and confidence you generate in others, and it makes you feel good. You think of yourself as a warm, generous, and loving person. You easily express love and affection, and you find it easy to accept love and approval. you like yourself because you are a friendly and giving person. You accept yourself as a unique and valuable person. You're open, honest, and direct in your relations with people. You recognize that you are exceptionally talented and highly creative. This awareness makes you feel good.
Oh,
I'm Tom Rowe with WGXC in Acre with this week's WGXC Congressional Report, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives and candidates for the 19th and 20th congressional seats in New York. Current Democratic Representatives Antonio Delgado and Paul Tonko vote with the positions of President Joe Biden 100% of the time, according to the 538.com website.
So far, at least five candidates have announced they want to replace Representative Paul Tonko in whatever ends up being the 20th congressional district. Right now, that includes all of Albany County and much of the Capital District, but redistricting may not be resolved for weeks, so speculation on an election without a defined district is difficult. But so far, Jack Fallon Underwood, Justin Chairs, Cole Matthews, and Ross Tlaib Rah are running in the Democratic primary election June 28th. Nick Reisman reports at New York State of Politics that Tonko wants the lines drawn, too. Tonko said, and I quote, "I just hope we're given district lines as soon as possible because the petitioning date is just around the corner. I'd like to know what my district is going to look like and if it's divided, where I'm going to go from that point on," end quote. Democrats now control redistricting in the legislature, and the article asks, and I quote, "Will Democrats try to make life more difficult for Elise Stefanik or make re-election easier for Antonio Delgado?" End quote. Tonko's blue district, which lies between Stefanik's now red district on the north and Delgado's purple district on the south, will be altered if Democrats attempt to help one or the other of the nearby swing districts. New York Democratic Party Chairman Jay Jacobs said, and I quote, "Republicans across the country are redrawing congressional lines to favor their candidates. Without being obnoxious in New York, if lines are drawn with communities and help Democrats, then that is the course we should take," end quote. Republican Liz Joy lost to Tonko in 2020 and is also running again this year.
This week, WGXC interviewed Jack Fallon Underwood, who is among the candidates challenging Tonko in the 20th Congressional District Democratic primary in June. Here's an excerpt of that interview.
Why I'm running is just after, I think in a previous interview I said it was the January 6th insurrection, but that just kind of strengthened my resolve. Prior to that, I had just seen so much division in this country. Throughout the Trump presidency, it seemed like two sides were moving away and refusing to listen to each other. I think just now Trump's pulled out of the presidential debate in 2024. So the signs look like the country is schisming. I am running on a simple platform. I only want to campaign on two bills. Instead of listing a bunch of promises that don't happen or I can't accomplish, I will either pass the bipartisan majority bill and the anti-corruption bill. And if they don't pass, I'll step down. I won't run again. It's as simple as that.
Mid-Hudson News Network is reporting U.S. Representative Antonio Delgado touted his congressional record during a teletown hall on January 18. In the 3 years that Delgado has been in office, he has had 18 of his bills passed and signed into law. The Rhinebeck Democrat told everyone on the telephone town hall session that each of those measures was for the benefit of his constituents in New York's 19th congressional district. Delgado said of the 18 bills signed into law, 10 were under President Trump and 8 during the first year of the Biden administration. He said, and I quote, "From addressing the needs of our farmers to supporting our veterans to empowering our small businesses to protecting against toxins like PFOS, the focus is always on delivering for communities," end quote. Delgado was joined on the call by Ulster County Health Commissioner Dr. Carol Smith to address the latest concerns about the pandemic. Other topics addressed during the one-hour session included supporting the workforce and protecting voting rights. Delgado is being challenged by the current Dutchess County Executive, Republican Mark Molinaro. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Here is an excerpt of Delgado's town hall meeting from January 18th with a constituent asking about a senior issue.
Mary from Ulster.
Hi. How come the seniors didn't get any kind of stimulus like the people from unemployment and child tax credits. The seniors got an increase of 5.9, while there's inflation is 6.2, and so we're still behind. I'm fortunate that we're still working, but every time I go to the grocery store, the prices are up. So the seniors are still behind.
Yes, Mary, thank you so much for your question, and certainly appreciate your concerns regarding rising prices. It's a real challenge for the country right now, and certainly an issue that we have to get our arms wrapped around. I want to take your question in two ways. I do want to say on the question of receiving economic impact payments, seniors did receive these payments, and you know, if for some reason you did not receive one, then I would encourage you to reach out to our office and we can figure out why that might have been the case. But it is my understanding that seniors did receive economic impact payments. That being said, and I think your point is well taken, more needs to be done, particularly when you factor in the rising costs of goods and services. We are being hit pretty hard in that regard, whether it's, you know, like I said in my remarks, at the gas pump, or whether it's at the grocery store, or whether it's prescription drugs, you name it. We're seeing a real hit in the pockets of a lot of folks. And that's why I've taken a number of steps. And that's why I talked about my 4x4 plan in terms of how we can do more to address these issues and focusing on a host of areas, whether it's making sure that I called on the president to approve fuel sales from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which the president ultimately did do, which I think was a positive effect on the prices at the pump. We are starting to see some signs that crude oil and gas prices are stabilizing. You know, also just thinking about what we can do through the infrastructure bill that we signed into law. One of the challenges that we're facing is how we bring goods to the market faster. Well, one way that can help is if we have robust broadband, if we have roads that are not in disrepair, if we have ports that are able to take goods off carriers in a timely and efficient fashion, if we have a system that would make it so that when our foreign trading partners unload their carriers, they are required to some degree to take back our exports, as is not the case currently. So there are things that we can do specifically that I have done by way of supporting legislation to meet these needs. And I think also just figuring out how we can invest in American manufacturing. I think we've got to do more to create more investment in American-made goods, which means that we have to use American-made materials when we are investing in our infrastructure. And to that end, I've introduced legislation to make sure that we achieve that by making sure that when federal agencies seek waivers to not use, buy, or to avoid Buy American laws on our books, they have to disclose that publicly on a website so we understand exactly why and what the rationale for that is. Lastly, I'll just note this because I think, you know, as a senior, you might have some concern in this regard. You know, I've put together a letter to make sure that we do all we can to lower Medicare premiums. Medicare announced in November that Medicare Part B premium rates for 2022 were going to increase by $21. This 14.5% increase is the largest Part B premium increase in the history of Medicare, and this is simply unacceptable. Unacceptable for seniors, particularly living on a fixed income. In December, I sent a letter to the Department of Health and Human Services urging them to take action to lower Medicare Part B premiums for seniors, and I'm glad to say that after our letter, Medicare is taking another look at these premium increases, and we will continue to stay on top of this issue moving forward. So thank you very much for the call, Mary, and certainly we'll keep doing all we can to bring down costs.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times. Even as we continue to prioritize diplomacy and dialogue, we must also increase readiness.
As the situation along the Russian-Ukraine border continues to deteriorate, Defense Department spokesperson John Kirby says the Pentagon has placed 8,500 troops on heightened alert in advance of potential Russian military actions, should NATO request them. President Joe Biden ordered family members of U.S. embassy officials to leave Ukraine, but the embassy itself will remain open. Talks between Western allies and Russia have failed to cool tensions in the region, where Russia has been amassing troops along its border for several months. Kirby emphasized the move is a precautionary measure and not an official deployment.
Again, I want to reinforce that as of now, the decision has been made to put these units on higher alert and higher alert only. No decisions have been made to deploy any forces from the United States at this time.
Vice President Kamala Harris visited Milwaukee yesterday to tout the White House's plans to replace lead water pipes across the nation. The Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism reports the city has removed nearly 4,000 lead lines since 2017. At the current pace, replacing all of Milwaukee's lines would take more than 70 years. The plan, funded by the bipartisan infrastructure law, was announced by the White House last month.
And the goal is to remove and replace all lead pipes over the next 10 years. It will invest $15 billion nationally in this effort. And here in Wisconsin, as has been said, $48 million will be dedicated in the year 2022.
Reproductive rights advocates are raising red flags over a proposed South Dakota abortion ban that closely resembles similar measures enacted in Texas and Mississippi. The bill would prohibit abortions after 6 weeks and allow citizens to sue providers who violate the law. Lynn Paltrow with the group National Advocates for Pregnant Women says it will create a chilling effect for operations that are allowed under such restrictive bans, including those where a medical emergency necessitates an abortion.
Doctors are too afraid. Healthcare providers are much too afraid. They don't know what they need.
President Biden met with administration officials yesterday to discuss efforts to control product costs as inflation continues to tick upward. The administration is placing emphasis on increasing competition in certain sectors to drive prices down for goods and services.
I've said it before, capitalism without competition is not capitalism. It's exploitation.
The president dodged several questions from reporters during the meeting about the U.S.'s plans in Ukraine. And the U.S. Supreme Court will consider a challenge to affirmative action at Harvard and the University of North Carolina. The court's decision on the two cases will have wide-ranging implications as affirmative action has heavily shaped college admission practices for the past 40 years. I'm Jonah Chester for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Mike Moen contributed reporting. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Next, we hear from Talking Heads' David Byrne and Yola Tengo, their cover of Yoko Ono's Who Has Seen the Wind from a 2022 compilation of Yoko Ono songs called Ocean Child.
Catch it if we can. Who has seen the wind?
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined today by Bob Cohen, who's Citizen Action of New York. He's an attorney. And we've had Bob on a couple of times to talk about their involvement along with a bunch of other groups with the recent rate hike for National Grid, local utility. And just this week, a decision came down in that rate case. So Bob, you want to tell us, you know, why was this rate case important? What were you all trying to accomplish? And then later we'll talk about what actually occurred.
Sure, Mark. Thanks for having me. So the reason why Citizen Action and many other groups like us got involved in this rate case is, well, everybody, including me, calls them rate cases, and it's certainly very important, the impact of on average consumers of how much we pay for electric and gas bills. It turns out that numerous issues involving policies, and particularly the climate crisis, are done through proceedings with the Public Service Commission. So it turns out that what National Grid and other utilities do is heavily impacted by what is decided in these rate cases, which I will add are most of the policies are done in confidentially, where the public cannot participate unless they want to sit through hours of these negotiations. So it's not accessible to the average person, obviously.
And, you know, I have participated in some of my prior positions in those rate cases. You know, it's one thing if you're sitting there as a community volunteer for hours and hours and hours to try to get a word in. And then, of course, you're sitting there with, you know, people in, you know, three-piece suits that are making $200, $400, $500 an hour. And they're quite happy to sit there for a long period of time because they're getting paid to do it. Now, in the media, we hear, you know, there was a 2% rate hike, which they said was much less than the rate of inflation. They sort of cast it as a victory. What were some of the other important parts of this recent decision?
Yes, and I'd like to say really quickly, It isn't the greatest thing in the world to say that a 2% is a victory, but it is better than it was. And while I don't want to applaud it that much, I do want to say that it does show that the hours of time we spent in it was of some value to people's pocketbooks. But anyway, getting to the main focus of our organization, the climate aspect, you know, what I like to say is, and we can elaborate a little bit later, is that there were some good things that happened in this rate case. So, for example, I'll just give one example. We forced them to curtail all efforts to actively market new gas hookups. But so if this were a normal kind of policy world, we could talk about, well, we got a half a victory, or a third of a victory. But the problem is we have the climate crisis, which, as you know, and so many of our listeners know, is a true crisis. You know, all of the international reports and state reports have said we have to act in the next few years to avoid it. And the half measures that were in this rate case the quarter measures, in light of the emergency, are totally unsatisfactory. And that's why our organization in particular opposed the rate increase, opposed the agreement that occurred. Other groups were neutral, but certainly other environmental groups were neutral, but certainly shared a lot of our criticism.
Now, one issue that a lot of groups, including yours and Renewable Heat Now campaign, have been focused upon, and you mentioned that they did back off from trying to have National Grid promote, you know, expansion of gas and hookups, was a so-called 100-foot rule. In terms of, you get, you know, sort of a free hookup within 100 foot, I guess, of an existing pipeline, which in fact is actually a tremendous subsidy, which then goes into rate base and we all pay for it. That seems to become actually a pretty mainstream position. I believe even Governor Hochul and the Climate Action Council have adopted opposition to that. Was that one of the things that was raised in this case?
If it was, I'm not aware of that, although I will say that they did take a number of steps that make it harder to, you know, pursue gas projects. So, for example, we in the Capital District, a number of organizations have been opposing this Albany Loop pipeline, which effectively was killed, at least during the rate term. So there are some, again, from the perspective of let's do a little bit, encouraging signs. But the bottom line is that I and others, other lawyers looking at the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act, interpret the law to mean that there are actual mandates they have to achieve. So most notably, 70% renewable energy by 2030 for electricity. And this rate, the three-year rate period of this case is one-third of that time. So you would think that they would get one-third there. But in fact, the Public Service Commission's decision essentially said, back off, advocates. We're doing our best. We're acting in various ways in good faith. We've taken A, B, and C steps, and that should be good enough, that they mean well. And that is not what the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act means, and that is not what we need to address the climate crisis.
Now, we both are lawyers, and so we know that courts sort of bend over backwards to support whatever decision, you know, regulatory bodies make, particularly in these type of proceedings. But given what you've just outlined about this really seems to not embrace the dictates of the new state climate law, any thought about suing to overturn or to modify what was approved?
Well, I do want to say, Mark, and to people listening, that we're conducting this interview one day after this very lengthy and complex decision was made. So we haven't decided, but I will actually repeat something you yourself just said, and I think you're totally correct, which is that agencies administrative agencies are given, the legal term is deference, are really listened to by courts in any kind of appeal of administrative proceeding, not only as to the facts they find, but to the interpretation of the law. So, and they are, you know, competent, the Public Service Commission, and they know how to put in the right legalese to show that they justified their position as to the facts and the law.
I'm gonna jump in at this point because we're almost out of time. I know climate can't wait, something you've been involved with, groups working on 12 different bills on climate are going to have a press conference January 25th. What else is next for the climate movement, do you think, in the next 1 minute?
So we in the climate movement have gotten together with the Climate Can't Wait collaborative, and we are this year coming up with a unified agenda on what are the most important priorities to approach climate, and going to the legislature and the governor and the state agencies and say, this is what we collectively think you should be doing. So please enact these 12 bills, or at a minimum, tell us what else should be done. You need to do your job. It is clear that we are not reaching the goals of the Climate Act that was passed in 2019. And we got to act like this is serious, because believe me, it is.
People want more information, want to take action, how best they
sure
do that?
They can actually go on the webpage, and I should have had that ready, but if you Google Climate Can't Wait, New York, you will get the new webpage of this effort, and they will tell you not only what's happening on January 25th, but you can follow it and see what our ongoing plans are going to be. We're hoping to have a major rally in April. Stay tuned.
Bob Cohen, climate hero, Citizen Action of New York. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org. Here's a 2022 song from Jenny Hval. It's called Year of Love.
Isn't that how the song goes? I wore black jeans and codeine, because I wanted to make sure I seemed relaxed. It's just for contractual reasons I explained. Institution and the industrial happiness complex. But in the year of love, I signed a deal with patriarchy. Now watch me step into the place.
Radio, she takes it everywhere we go. She takes it when we go out a walking, even to a movie show. One out just last night in the pale moonlight, I asked her for a kiss. But instead of hearing her whisper sweet words of love, all that I could hear was this.
Love, love, ow, 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 ow.
baby lift to ask her for a date. There I was, walking up the garden path around about a 8:30. When I heard a sound, made my poor heart pound. It stopped me in my stride. I seemed to hear the voice of another guy coming from inside. I wonder if you're lonesome tonight, for no one to call. Maybe that's 'cause you're 11 feet tall. But all the world's a stage, they say. I've often heard that said. But I don't have a wooden heart. I have a wooden head. I'd like to take her transistor radio and throw it in the deep blue sea. I'm so jealous of her transistor radio, 'cause it takes her mind off me. I said, oh baby, please be mine. I want you for my own. Tell me, is your love for somebody else, or is it for me alone? It's also for Nagayo Guki of British Honduras, Mbongo Apple Durian of New Guinea, and Fred Glockenlocker of British West Hartlepool. I swore to her that I would be always true and love her all the while. And on that oh so happy day in May, I took her down the aisle. Now do you take this man to be your loving husband? The preacher softly said. But he never heard you say I do, 'cause this is what he heard instead.
Come, yeah, yeah. Come, yeah, yeah.
You told me you were just 18 on the telephone. I thought that you meant 18 years, but you meant 18 stone, big fat mama. We went to spend our honeymoon down on the island of Capri. I found ourselves a very small hotel, as quiet as could be. But when I got up to our room upon our wedding night, this is the sound that reached my ears as I switched out the light.
Darling.
Here, where's the radio?
Music he wants.
Advocates for older New Yorkers say Governor Kathy Hochul's proposed executive budget leaves people living in nursing homes